RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews Ocean's 8, now playing in area theaters.
Hooray for an ensemble heist film full of all women. It's about time. I do not think there's ever been a film like this. The list is long for the men, but settle in for a new twist on an old genre, where badass women plan and execute a complex heist to score $150 million. But oops, the women don't really get their own film. They are first tethered to the three Ocean's 11 films from 10 to 15 years ago, led by Clooney and Pitt. Look even further back and they are tied to the Rat Pack, who really started this sort of large cast caper in 1960. Of course, women can handle their own heist film, so why not give them their own? Riding on the tailcoat, cinematic style and spirit of earlier films is unnecessary for the likes of these A-list ladies. Is Ocean's 8 sexist? The dudes in Ocean's 11 and 13 hit casinos in Vegas, and there was something about Venice sandwiched in the middle of those two. The women are going to steal from the Met Gala, Vogue magazine's ultimate celebration of haute couture and fashion idolatry. Can women not steal from casino vaults? Can men not steal necklaces off necks amongst the top designers? Am I reading too much into this? It's wonderful female audience members get the opportunity to relate to women criminals for once. But confining them to a fashion party does not help this rare casting coup. Co-written and directed by Gary Ross and produced by Steven Soderbergh, the man who recreated the three Ocean films in the early 2000s, Ocean's 8 connects to the previous films. It nods to the trilogy because it feels the same. It has the same staccato bass line and quick cuts as one member of the crew passes off the loot to another member in a panorama of fast movements. It also stands on its own. We're in New York City, not Vegas. It's more than 10 years in the future, and the cast is new, but some share the family DNA. Debbie Ocean, played by Sandra Bullock, Danny Ocean's sister, makes parole and confidently struts out of prison with a devious plan she worked on to the last detail. She chose to get herself put in solitary, just so she could think it through without distractions. Debbie also comes across as a more petty criminal than brother Danny. Debbie goes into stores and scams perfume and clothes. She steals suitcases and coats from hotels. Danny never would have stooped so low. Second-in-command, Lou, played by Kate Blanchett, playing in the more down-to-earth Brad Pitt character, is along for the ride, but must play the straight man to rein in Debbie's more audacious tendencies. Debbie and Lou stitch together an amusing crew, like these movies always do, but the one character I am not buying is Blanchett's Lou. Blanchett usually disappears into any role she wants to, but something is off here. She is too chic, too upper crust for anyone to believe she's slumming it on a motorcycle and spending her nights watering down cheap vodka. Blanchett is a world-class talent, but this casting choice misses the mark. Also like Vegas, New York City is its own character, and we get more than the standard midtown locales we usually get stuck with in NYC films. There's a lot of Brooklyn, but large doses of the actual Metropolitan Museum and the Cartier Mansion. The mark is Anne Hathaway as famous actress and model Daphne Kluger. Specifically, Daphne's neck is the mark, and the necklace she will be wearing to the Met Gala. Look at Vogue and Anna Wintour getting another film under their belts. There's been a rash of fashion documentaries like the September issue, The First Monday in May, and The Gospel According to Andre, glorifying the magazine and its party. I'm glad I saw The First Monday in May. Otherwise, I would have no idea what it meant when the words pop up on screen. The pinnacle of the fashion who's who is one of the most scrutinized events in the world. Stealing a $150 million necklace in the middle of the party is a bold move for Debbie and crew. I come back to the sexism accusation. Why must fashion and glamour take center stage just because Gary Ross decided to let girls steal some bling for a change? Ross made one of my favorite movies of all time, Pleasantville, and jumped around after that, including the first Hunger Games film and Seabiscuit. The man knows how to create compelling cinema. In Ocean's 8, he made a heist with heart, friendship amongst thieves, and avoided the pitfalls of sentimentality, which he could have tripped into. Unfortunately, this film is far too derivative on earlier films to ever be accused of any originality and creativity. The girls are more gimmick than glass ceiling breakers. That is why I give Ocean's 8 2 out of 4 stars.
Ocean's 8 is rated PG-13, now playing at Studio Movie Grill Seminole, Cobb Tyrone Luxury 10, Regal Park Place Stadium 16, Regal Largo Mall 8, AMC Sundial 20 in downtown St. Petersburg, Sunset Point Cinema Bar and Grill, and Cobb Countryside 12 Cinemas.
Radio StPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell, JUHL.com.